Hello and welcome. You are tuned in to the Alachua County Extension Cord Podcast, where we plug in and bring UF IFAS Extension to life. Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Plant of the Month. It is March, and I think it is about time we talk about time.
Yay!
Hey, another little spicy herb.
Kevin, I love it.
Or is it herb?
Herb. Well, it depends on what part of the country you grew up in.
That's right.
But I mean, we know Martha's excited. She loves to talk about herbs.
I love thyme. Thyme is probably one of my favorite herbs because it's so versatile. And
yes.
It's the one herb that you will never not find in my pantry because it's that go-to. Mm-hmm. You can just... You know, if you're wondering, what can I spice it up with? What can I do? You can always grab that thyme, and thyme goes with anything.
Yeah, and I'm excited to learn about that, too, coming up, because I do a lot of cooking with the other herbs a lot. But I'll be honest, I don't use thyme a
just
lot.
Just a little bit goes a long way, too. Right. Yeah. That's right. What...
Well, I digress. We're going to get there in a minute.
Okay. And lemon thyme, Kevin.
Then there's all the varieties and the cultivars.
Yeah, apple thyme. Yeah.
Could you put lemon thyme on a clementine?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So
actually, that would go really good. Thyme goes really good with citrus.
Yes. Yes. And bars. I have a lemon bar and a clementine bar recipe. It's funny you said that because you didn't even know that.
So, but we got to go back a few steps before we can enjoy this herb. Let's if we want to produce it on our own.
Right.
What's involved with thyme? I know herbs in general. I'm just poor at growing.
Oh, you know, that's interesting because I always feel like if there's like a gateway plant,
it's herbs.
Herbs are like good gateway gardening plants because you can grow them inside on a nice sunny windowsill. The key with thyme is people overwater it. Mm. This is a Mediterranean plant. So think about the Mediterranean, southern Spain, Portugal, Greece, you know.
Never been there.
Sunny, dry, rocky.
Gotcha.
Right? So it does not want to be wet. And I think usually the challenge that people have with thyme is they're overwatering it. So if you have it in a container, make sure it's a well-draining container. I like growing thyme in terracotta pots because terracotta, the clay absorbs the water. So, even if you've, watered that deeply, the clay pot itself will pull out the moisture, and so it won't sit in that moisture. And I've had my best success with thyme in pots when they're in terracotta. If they're in plastic,
forget it.
Yeah.
The plastic just doesn't allow for that water to evaporate, and it sits. It sits in there. Now, if you're going to plant it outside, you can do that as well. We have sandy soils, and especially if it's in a sunny location, you could do that. They can make excellent ground covers, thyme, because it has, there's creeping varieties, and even the upright ones don't get super tall, so that you can kind of use them as nice ground covers. The key, though, again, is making sure you're planting thyme with other plants that are dry loving, right? That don't like their feet wet, or are okay with the occasional watering. This is a plant that wants to dry out, and then you add more water. And think about our hot, humid, sometimes very rainy summers, right? So that's where, to get it through the summer, you're going to really need to have a good, well-draining, sunny area. That's the, if it's getting any type of shade or it's not allowed to fully evaporate, then that's when you start to see those disease issues, the rot, and you just start to see the decline of the plant. So,
and I'm assuming this comes up pretty readily via seed, or do most people mostly buy it already kind of up and going?
It depends on how patient you are. Mm. So thyme can take a long time to germinate.
Oh,
it's a slow, relative to the other herbs, which, a lot of times, basil, it's going to germinate fairly quickly, or parsley, although parsley also can be sometimes slow, but thyme just takes time, and sometimes people just aren't patient. You get that one little sprig coming out, and it was like, I was kind of hoping for a full cluster already, right? So growing it from seed just means you probably want to start as early as you can inside if you're going to put them into a pot so that it has time to kind of fill out.
Okay.
And just be patient. And remember, again, with the seed, it doesn't need a lot. Time is one of those things you just don't want to fidget too much with. Plant it.
Neglect is okay.
Yes. And it's like, let that thing dry out before you're rewatering it.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of plant it and forget it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, yes, with time. It's sure. Because if you're hovering over it, it's like that, you know, watching the teapot boil. If you're hovering over it, you're going to tend to overwater it. Then you're going to be like, oh, maybe I need to fertilize it to make it grow faster. Mm-mm. Don't do that either. That's the other thing, too, with the fertilizer. It wants to take its time growing.
Yeah.
And eventually this plant actually can become woody. So that's why it's just doing its thing. It's kind of hunkering down, really establishing those root systems, right? And then it's, you know, pushing out its little tiny leaves and stems. But this is a plant that wants to hang around for a long time. It's for the long game.
Is it like other herbs where if it wants to flower, then you lose some of the flavor profile? Or does it like to bolt and flower?
So it's not going to really bolt, but it is going to flower. Okay. Now, the change, I'll leave this one for Martha in terms of the change. There is a different concentration of the essential oils that give it the flavor once it starts flowering. But you can kind of prune those tips. So the thing with thyme, if you're harvesting from it regularly, is you want those younger stems. Gotcha. Also, the woodier stems, that's also going to change the profile.
Yeah, that's like with any of the herbs, Kevin. You want to always snip off or pinch off the flowers because the flowers take the nutrients and they also, you know, will kind of make it start turning woody. Now, and you can use these flowers as garnishes, and the thyme flowers aren't that big. I mean, yeah. They're just little bitty, about the size of your little finger. So pinch those off.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, if you start to see it get woody, go ahead and, you know, give it a cut.
Okay.
So that you're going to encourage those young shoots of thyme. You're talking about seed and you know, how to grow it. The other way is to propagate it. So if you have cuttings of thyme, you can create more thyme by just taking a cutting mm-hmm. and then rooting that cutting. And sometimes people prefer to do that because you're closer to that mature plant than you are if you're trying to wait from it to germinate from and seed, grow from
sure,
seed.
Yeah.
So especially if you want to have a larger area that you want to create a ground cover for. And if you're not going to buy the plants and you want to propagate them, that's the best way is to just do cuttings.
Go a lot faster.
Get those plants up to a decent size, and then you can transplant them out, and then they'll merge together.
Okay. So. Super. And I know we touched on the fact that they are susceptible to rot if we overwater, and mm-hmm. that's definitely one of the big issues. And not a lot of foliar leaf fungal diseases because their leaves are so small, but there are a few insect pests, right? Because it is a dry loving, and then
that
of course means spider mites.
Yeah, so it's those mites. Mm-hmm. Mites and aphids are probably the biggest sucking insect culprit I've seen.
And on a small scale, they can be removed manually.
Yes.
But yeah, in the landscape, that can be a little bit harder to tackle.
Right, that's where, you know, just with all your garden plants, you want to go out there and inspect. Make sure you turn those leaves over. Spider mites, the distinguishing characteristic, and it's really hard to see on thyme right. because the leaves are so tiny, but is like a stippling of the leaf.
A flecking stipple.
But if you turn the leaf over, a lot of times, sometimes you'll see those distinct red, little red mites and maybe some webbing, if mm-hmm. if you have that. But the key for that is disruption. They don't like to be disturbed, but you have to be consistent on a regular basis. If you have aphids or spider mites, you want to do consistent control. Now, you can do just by knocking them off with water or using a soap solution, because remember, these are herbs. And if you want to eat them, I don't recommend putting any type of pesticide
them. Not even really the oils.
Because those little leaves are so tiny. So mm-hmm. I say stick to water. Yeah. You could do just a light soapy solution, because that keeps the water on there longer and acts as that surfactant, right? and they don't like that. They just don't like to be disturbed. And so it's like, just keep disturbing them so that they'll leave and find somewhere else to go. Mm-hmm. Also, too, when you're spraying thyme with water to get the pests off, just remember it doesn't want to stay wet either. Yeah. So that's, I think, the challenge for a lot of people is just like once it gets too far, it's kind of like I'm trying to fix this one problem. And now when I try and fix it with this, now I've created another problem and, you know, they struggle.
One hint I would recommend too, if you do decide to eat, if you have mites and you're deciding to use water to treat them, is to do it in the morning just to give it all day to dry out.
Give it all day to dry out. And remember, focus on where they're at. They're not on the top. They're going to be underneath those leaves. So I like to use some sort of spray nozzle that you can turn up.
Turn upside down,
And then you spray underneath. You know, if you can, you can try and slightly flip your, if you have a container plant and it's small enough, you can try and flip it. But the other thing is you really want to get a good coating, because those spider mites, they're very good at like finding refuge. And then it's every 2 to 3 days. Stay on top of that until they're gone.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, planting, pest control, harvest, anything else we need to talk about for?
No, just full sun. This is a plant that.
Sun lover.
Yeah, it's a sun lover. So. Okay.
Great. Well, hopefully you can get it to that point where it's harvestable.
And then once it is, it's like once you find that perfect combination, you know, especially if you have like a nice sunny southern window or west facing window, leave it there. Don't move it around.
It.
You know, and find that watering regime that it fully absorbs it and uses it up, dries it out before. Oh no, I need to water it a little more. and match it with other plants that like that too.
Yep.
So matching it with other succulents or, you know, other plants that don't require a lot of water is good companion plants for thyme.
Great. Okay, and then we get to enjoy this herb that I don't know if I could describe its aroma or its taste. What's it taste like, Martha?
Well, that's kind of interesting to explain, Kevin. Your basic thyme has a peppery and earthy smell, but to your palate, it has an earthy floral taste, which is kind of, you know, interesting there. It is spicy. It has hints of clove, lemon, mint, and camphor. Now, if you've got the lemon, you know, it's a lemony flavor. The apple is apple-y flavor. It depends on the different types of thyme, but that's your basic, you know, thyme. It'll add freshness, it'll add warmth, depth, and complexity to all your dishes. And it is, like I said earlier, the one herb that you do not want to be without, because it's known as a background herb. It doesn't ever take the front stage. It doesn't ever overpower, you know, other herbs. Mm-hmm. It's more there to complement and add complexity to that dish.
All right, so Martha, when we're at the store, what are we looking for when selecting thyme?
Well, Kevin, I'm going to be you. I take my time to select it. You want it to be vibrant green in the leaves. Now, you always want to look for green in those leaves. Lemon thyme is my favorite. And it has some white specks in it, but that green should be vibrant. It should be just, you know, catch your eye and be very vibrant.
Okay.
The leaves should be very fragrant. You want to kind of pinch them or rub them. And if you don't smell, you know, that earthy, lemony, mini camphor smell, whatever the smell should be, you don't want to buy it.
Sure.
Also, you make sure those stems are not dry and brittle. Cynthia talked about how that stem can dry out. If that stem is real dry and brittle, the thyme is not going to have a lot of oil in it.
Gotcha.
So leave that on the shelf. If the leaves are wilted, dried out, yellow, or have dark spots, or they're black, keep walking.
Okay.
Find you some more. Now, most of the time, we find thyme in packages. Those little plastic containers.
Yep.
You want to take those off the shelf, and if they have a lot of moisture content, and I've seen them where you can't even see the thyme in the container, you say forget that, because that moisture in there, if you could open that container up, and I've saw people do this, and look, 9 times out of 10, that has already started molding.
Got some mold
there's
on
some
it,
type yeah. of mold in there. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that there's no moisture in that package.
Sure. And if there isn't there, you know, when you look, there, it usually means that it could develop more readily once you get it.
So, right. Yeah. And when you get home, store it in your crisper on the low humidity side and keep checking that package if you're going to use it over a week's time or so.
Yeah. So that's what I'd like to talk about, too, is some tips for storing. Because typically when I buy herbs, I always, you know, I buy more than I'm going to need that night, and then they go bad in a day or two. How do we keep thyme alive?
Well, thyme or any herb, you can store like a bouquet. Have you a jar or a glass thyme? You don't want a big jar, little, you know, glass. You can put water in it and put the stems of the herb in there mm-hmm. and kind of cover it with a little plastic or paper towels. And change that water daily. And that'll keep for 3 to 5 days, sometimes a week in there. And then you just pick off the that you want. You can also use paper towels. Now, I'm fixing to say something that's going to contradict you. You want to take about 3 paper towels. You want to start rolling the herb in those paper towels. And then on the outside, not on the inside, the outside of those paper towels, just sprinkle very, very lightly a little water to give okay. that some moisture so that, you know, keeps the herbs fresh.
A little bit more, yeah,
and then you could check that and change that every couple of days if you need to.
Okay.
My favorite way, well, let's talk about drying first. You can dry your herbs. You can put a bundle on them, like take string and thyme in a bundle mm-hmm. and hang them up. I like to use the clothes hangers that you hang pants on
sure.
because you can tie the string around it and then clip it too. Hang it up, put it in a cool, dark place, let it, you know, do there. You can also put them on trays and put them out in the sunlight and let them dry. The catch of drying herbs is when you go to put it in the jar, you want those leaves to be brittle. This is yeah. where you want it to be brittle. You want it to where you can put it between your fingers and crush it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no moisture. If there's moisture, it needs to be continued dry.
Yep.
Because that moisture will cause it to mold. My favorite way to do it is freezing it. You can take and flash freeze by just putting sprigs of thyme on a tray with parchment paper. Let it flash freeze. Then put those bundles in a freezer, a bag, or a container. Make sure it's freezer. And mark it.
Okay.
What it is, how much is in there, date it. Or you can take, and this is the best way I like because it's so diverse in using, strip those leaves off. Put them in an ice tray and put water in them and make ice cubes out of it. But make sure you measure to know if it's a half a teaspoon, a tablespoon, whatever, and then freeze the ice cubes, put them in a freezer bag. Then if you want it for stews, omelets, you can just toss the ice cube in the stew. The omelet you would thaw it out, and then you've got the thyme. This tastes as close to fresh thyme as you will ever get. Any herb is that way. But remember, your dried herbs, this is where people mess up. Dried herbs are only good for a year. Okay. Now, you can put them in the freezer and extend the life for 2 years, possibly, but you get the full potential flavor, if they're stored properly, for just a year.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not going to store it. We get it home from the store, and we're gonna start cooking with it. What are the steps?
You want to gently wash it in cool water and pat it dry.
Okay.
Then you want to remove these leaves carefully. Now, you can slide your fingers down there. But if they're woody at all, you're going to get your finger cut. So I'd use some type of gloves. But the best way is to either take a fork, turn it, you know, down and pull it through there. Or if you have a sieve, this is the best way. Take those fine mesh sieves and put the end of the thyme in one of the little holes and just pull it through. The stem will come through and your leaves will, you know, fall down in your container that you've got. Then you can chop them, use them whole, however you want. When you're using the fork method, I'm going to talk about this a minute. You want to make sure that you hold that branch, you know, real tightly, and run it between those
the tines.
Run the time between the forks of the fork,
mm-hmm.
and this is kind of hard because you've got to hold that fork unless you can put it somewhere with one hand and hold the time with the other. And you're needing to make sure that time is very tightly pulled through there. That's why I like the sieve method.
Sure. Yeah, I've seen that on the YouTube.
It's like
once.
A hack.
Yeah.
It's a hack.
Life
hack.
Time hack. Yeah, it's wonderful. And it saves your fingers because if you've ever been cut with time, not fun, is it?
No. Mm-mm. And remember, those leaves are going to be the direction that you want to go in.
Yeah.
Against, so the leaves are going to be cupped slightly upright. You want to go against that.
Yep, you want to go against it.
Yep, pull it from the top.
Yeah.
So we kind of, you mentioned like there was a lemon thyme and maybe some different flavor profiles. Could you talk a little bit about the different varieties and maybe which one's your favorite?
Lemon thyme is my favorite. It hands down. And my friend Tina Marie Wilcox turned me on to lemon thyme many, many moons ago. And I like the variety that she has. And, you know, I'll drive all the way back home to get that variety. But there's, you have to be very careful with some of these varieties because they'll have it marked, but you have to taste it to see, does it really have that? But lemon thyme has a very, very distinct lemon smell, lemon taste. It's great on seafood, fish, chicken, and desserts and beverages. Excellent, excellent. And to put some lemon thyme in your lemonade, it just gives it a flavor with thyme and mint like you have never had, Kevin. Wonderful. Wish I had some right now.
I know.
The common thyme is also known as garden thyme, and it's normally what we find in our produce section, and it's used with anything, pretty much. Caraway thyme is great for stir fry on meats, and it has a very nutty, nutty flavor, and it's very hard to find. Orange thyme has an orange scent and a flavor, and it's good with your stir fry and your poultry dishes, and also desserts. Now, creeping thyme is also called the mother of thyme, and I love using it with herb blends. It's really a good herb blend. French thyme, which is really hard to find, but it has the fullest flavor and gives great to season mixes.
How do I use this in my food? How do I pair it?
Thyme is known as the blending herb because it pulls all the flavors together. So you can't go wrong with it, Kevin. Don't be afraid to use it. Don't anybody be afraid to use it. Because thyme will pull that rosemary flavor out and enhance it. Pulls that mint out. Parsley out. It enhances it. You want to use the leaves, not the stems. Just the leaves. It's good on beef, pork, poultry, seafood, sausages, vegetables, lentils, cheeses, excellent on cheeses, eggs, I love thyme and coriander. Those are great mixes with scrambled eggs. Just a pinch of coriander and, some thyme, wonderful flavor. Rice, it gives it a unique flavor. Lemon thyme, caraway thyme are wonderful, wonderful in rice. Your grains, breads, beans, pasta, stuffings, chowders, gumbos, jambalaya soups. You can add it to your stocks, your marinades, your sauces. As you're seeing, you can anything. The flowers are good for garnishes even. But again, they're little, so you might want to put them in a bundle. Thyme can also be used in beverages. We don't talk about that very much. But if you're looking to infuse your waters or your teas, they're excellent, excellent infusers.
So what are some like other flavor pairings or what kind of vegetables or meats would you use thyme on?
Well, anchovies. Let's talk anchovies. A lot of people don't like anchovies, but thyme can tame anchovies down, not make it as salty, but it enhances a different flavor. If you will use your thyme with your anchovies, you'll have a totally different anchovy flavor than what you're used to. And I do every once in a while indulge in anchovies on my pizza, but I put a lot of thyme on it, and it gives it a very different flavor. Chicken, clams, your cream sauces, thyme's really good in, your eggs, cheese, fish, lamb, lentils, mussels. But the herbs and spices, I'm going to get into that because we've talked about most of these others, but zucchini is really good too that I didn't touch. You can mix it. It enhances the best with bay, basil, allspice, chilies, your cloves, your garlic, lavender, marjoram, nutmeg, oregano, paprika, parsley, rosemary, and savory. And as all we always know, lavender is hard to get a mixture with. But I do a cookie that's a thyme lavender, and I use lemon thyme and lavender. But my favorite go-to is rosemary, parsley, sage, and thyme. That is my favorite mixture and one of my favorite songs.
I was going to say, I have the savory sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Yes, I knew that would get you.
I did have a thought, too. Using fresh herbs versus dried, or sometimes you can even see it almost powdered. How do those compare? Yeah.
Well, most of your recipes are written for dried herbs. If they're not, they will say that.
Okay.
And also be very careful, because I have really messed up a recipe or two by not paying attention. And my little daughter said, "Mother, you didn't read the recipe," and I've already too late, so some things get thrown out. Some of your recipes will say in the middle of the recipe, fresh lavender. You know, and everything else doesn't say nothing. Right. So you know everything else is dried and that's fresh.
Gotcha.
So if you're having to convert, dried herbs are 2 to 3 times stronger than fresh. So 2 teaspoons of fresh herb equals 3/4 teaspoons of dried herb. And that equals 1/4 teaspoon of powdered herbs.
Okay.
So 2 to 3/4 to 1/4.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because the dried herbs is more intense in the oil. And then when you powder it down, it's even more concentrated.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, I thank you both for being with me today and talking about thyme, how to grow it, how to eat it, how to prepare it. And hopefully all of you out there in podcast listening land will go out and plant you some this March. So until next time, thank you for joining us here on the Alachua County Extension Board podcast, and we will see you all later.